With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Live from the Cybermat Cash and Carry here on the planet Mondas, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, scientifically proven by the Time Lords to be the only Doctor Who podcast available by three men bulk-buying gumblejacks and vainly attempting to thumb a lift a vortice using a combination of bravado, nectar points and sexual favours. I am normally Paul Litchfield, and with me, as always, is nearly Tom Neenan and consequently John Rain. Hello!
Hello!
So, even though you have recently been furloughed, from your local branch of NISA, there's no need to be bored. As we pay a visit to visitation. It's a visitation, everyone.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
If you wanna be a record breaker.
Now, the last time we met, chaps, we talked about the wonderful Time Warrior. And then I chose Visitation, not knowing that it was, in fact, exactly the same fucking story. Exactly the same story. An alien lands on very oldie worldy Earth, captures people so he can escape in his ship. That is exactly the episode we talked about, and we're gonna bloody do it again. Except 9 years have passed, so the producers of Doctor Who went, fuck it, 9 years ago we last did that, do it again, rub out links and stick in his name, and there, we're off.
The one thing missing from the Time Warrior was the scene where you see an agonised Lynx burning to death. So I'm really glad that in the Visitation we get quite a few shots.
Let's basically get as many terrapins as we can find, put lighter fluid on them, film that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Visitation came onto our screens on the 15th of February in 1982.
Ooh.
There you go. And when was it on? It was on, this is a bit late for Doctor Who, it was on at 5 to 7.
Ooh.
6:55, Doctor Who The Visitation Part 1. Now, if you're watching the Beeb on that day, this is great. On BBC One, at 12:07 exactly, they closed down for 23 minutes.
Wow.
Just 23 minutes. Oh. They could have put something on, stick on a Laurel and Hardy or something. Just put something on.
That is bizarre.
With the vision controller guy going for a shit.
A 23 minute shit?
Yeah, maybe he was ill.
Wow. Maybe he popped down to ITV to make his feelings known. Who knows? But yes, and then suddenly the news then happens. And then at 1 o'clock you have Pebble Mill at one. Now, it's not remotely interesting or fun, but who was the guest? It was John Pertwee.
Oh.
And his wife Ingeborg.
Oh.
Yes.
Lovely stuff.
Who are telling you a little bit about the adventures they had when they went to the exotic East to sample the delights of Thailand. So that's good, isn't it?
Lovely stuff.
And then there was not much else on, and then Doctor Who came on, as I said, at 5 to 7. A little bit later on BBC, they have this documentary, and it's called Police.
Oh.
Now, here we go. This is the write-up for Police. PC Dennis Lay drives around some of the toughest areas around Windsor.
Oh my God.
Windsor!
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
The rough area of Windsor, isn't it?
Blimey. Oh, yeah.
I've seen Silver Nemesis.
A chance encounter with. A chance encounter when Panda 6 find themselves on the trail of what they hope to be a ring of bicycle thieves. Really bad in Windsor. But, as so often with the police, things don't proceed to plan. So I don't know what happens.
I hope no one's, I hope no one spoke about it.
Very nice.
Very nice, oh, very
thanks.
Nice.
Thanks.
And there wasn't much on the Beeb on that day, but on BBC Two you had Star Movie.
Ooh.
And this is, and the movie was called You Can Never Tell.
Oh.
So there you go.
Oh, there you
and,
go.
It just says this. King, a German shepherd dog, is left $6 million in the will left by his eccentric owner.
Oh.
Very good.
You never can tell.
Yeah, that sounds good. I guess the dog, the dog can't tell anyone.
No, the dog just eats it. Yeah. Ridiculous. Then at 7:25 you add the genuine article. How far can a piece of furniture be repaired or restored before it stops becoming genuine?
Like Trigger's broom.
I was just going to say, yeah.
I can really imagine some really angry, angry, bitter dough. No, I'm sorry. It may well look like the Mona Lisa, but the moustache that's been drawn on it renders it worthless.
Get it out of my sight.
So furious with it. Just angry, angry as hell. Who puts castanets on a Reuben? etc. And then you close the evening on BBC Two with Live, the Irish Election, with subtitles.
That's fair enough.
So that's what you got on BBC One and Two that day. But
why would you not be watching?
Well, why would you not be watching The Visitation? It is wonderful. It is wonderful. I mean, it is exactly the same story as The Time Warrior, but it is wonderful.
Mm.
Because once again, instead of opening in a castle, we open in Ghastly Grange. With a man polishing his Luger. And suddenly, the stars are falling. Basically, the stars are falling.
Yeah.
As two meteorites land nearby. And he tells his papa, and papa's, oh, stuff and nonsense and all that, nothing happens round here, etc., etc.
Hmm.
And then there's a point of view shot of a heavily breathing alien.
Yeah.
Exciting,
which at this
it?
Point, knowing who our doctor is, it could be Peter Davison. So it's the daughter of the Lord that's witnessed it. The other, her brother is polishing his Luger, says he's going to go upstairs, but then just goes upstairs to the top landing and starts polishing his shotguns. which is rather nice.
His bed guns.
And then, yeah, his bed guns.
Time to get my bed guns out.
In case I have the night tremors, I've got my bed guns. Yes, okay.
But the Lord is played by the man from Coronation Street. I've forgotten his name.
Yes, the boy, his name is.
Oh, John Savant, isn't it? John Sullivan?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I say, boy, that ain't no chicken hawk.
Yeah, from Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, Foghorn
yeah,
Leghorn.
He's basically Foghorn Leghorn in Coronation Street, isn't he?
Yeah.
I say, that hot pot is too cold.
I'm just going to look up who the actor is, because it's going to annoy me if I don't.
I'm sure it's John Savaloy?
John Savadant.
Savadant, there you go.
You're right. Yeah.
John Savalon Glitz.
Yeah. John Savalon Glitz. And what we have is, what I love about The Visitation is it immediately gets straight into the action, because we all this heavy breathing, you don't see what this creature is, but you just get now basically a scrap in the house. They're all firing at it, and I think they actually injure the alien, don't they? And then we get possibly one of the weirdest robots ever to make an appearance on Doctor Who. It's the Harlequin alien robot, troubadour, matador, creature thing.
Cards on the table. When he's not pretending to be death, he's shit, isn't he?
Mm.
It's just...
He's halfway to Bertie Bassett, isn't he? He's got like Bertie Bassett's legs.
Mm. It's just a bizarre amalgam of too many ideas.
Yeah.
You've got the cricket gloves as well, like Diamante cricket gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very odd. It's very odd. It looks like... Well, what was the last film that Kubrick made?
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut.
It looks like he's dressed up as one of the people at the sex party for Eyes
Wide Shut. It totally does, yes.
Got really one of those bizarre costumes on. You know he's going to be dry humping someone on an Ottoman chair at any point. anyway, so the whole family now is shooting, and it's all chaos, and then we just immediately cut back to the TARDIS, and what's happening, what's always happening, of course, is Adric's getting a bollocking. He's getting another bollocking. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, throughout these four episodes, Adric, I mean, just at some point, someone take him out to the back of the woods and shoot him. Yeah. Just shoot him.
Please.
Shoot him.
Please.
He gets everything wrong, makes every wrong decision, cocks everything up, puts everyone in peril, and just bitches and moans about the fact that he's such a fucking spare wheel.
And the showmakers had the absolute brass balls to make us give a shit when he's killed.
I know. Because there's that amazing bit where Nyssa watches him via the monitor get the shit beaten out of him by the villagers.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, thinks about going outside and is like, nah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she's too busy having a little root around Tegan's drawers because they both share a room, don't they?
Of course, yeah.
So I'd imagine she's slightly rearranging it so she's got more room.
I bet the doctor thinks about that a lot in the floating room.
In his zero room.
His zero room, yeah.
They spend a lot of time recapping what happened in Kinder as well. Mm. It feels like, I think they were really going for like a, this is all connected. And I think they tried to do that this series. But eventually it's like, we know what happened in Kinder. You don't need to go over it all.
Yeah.
Yes. Tegan's really been through the mill, hasn't she? And she's really, even at this point, going, for the love of anything holy, take me home. I am done. I am done with this. So the doctor is right. We are landing at Heathrow. I am landing you at Heathrow. And he does land at Heathrow.
Yeah.
But it's 300 years too early.
Oh.
And she basically says, you stupid cunt. Can't you fucking use this machine, you daft bastard? And he's like, and he basically shrugs and like, well, I don't think I can. Sorry.
She has a cob on and just storms out. For a split second, you can see the doctor thinking, I might just leave her here.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that's I never understand about this. Mm.
Adric, go and get her. Right, go, go,
go, go, go.
Why do they get out and, like, walk around? Like, if you've landed somewhere and it's the wrong place, you can take off again, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like we're stuck here now for, like, 3 days. It's like, no, you can just take off again and try again.
Yeah, you can try infinite times until you get it right.
Sure.
Yeah.
But thank God they don't, Tom, because
otherwise
there's rotten things afoot here and there in ye olde Heathrow.
Mm.
My word. They discover villages burning sulphur.
They do.
Yes. Good Lord. And little do they know that as they're looking at the villages, some of the villages are looking at them. There's little lookouts.
Again, more eyes wide shut stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Some yokels are like hiding up in trees, like bandits.
Yeah.
And they suddenly start kicking the. Well, the doctor starts kicking the shit out of a yokel straight away.
This is the bit in the documentary where Peter Davidson, because there's a great behind the scenes on the Blu-ray that was made for the Blu-ray, so it's very new. Mm-hmm. And Adric is conspicuous by his absence, and they spend the whole doc slagging him off, pretty much. And then Peter Davison gets a bit pissed off talking about how this fight was choreographed.
Really?
Yes.
And what was supposed to happen is Adric was supposed to fall over. No, he was supposed to get on his hands and knees behind someone, and Davison was supposed to push him over Adric.
Right.
But apparently Adric fucked it up. So when he pushes him over, he falls over Adric's neck. And it looks really stupid because he got in the wrong place. And Peter Davison's still annoyed about
it. Still angry about it. Mm.
He does have a very long, slim neck, does Adric?
Mm. He said this is He said this
is,
I think, the first or second episode he shot as the Doctor, because JNT wanted to do it out of sequence. So by the time they got round to filming the first episode, he'd have a better understanding of who his Doctor is.
So the one they filmed first was Caves of Androzani.
Mm.
Yes.
So they filmed his last episode first, so then he'd have a good run-up at doing his first episode.
I didn't know that.
That's why in the Caves of Androzani, he's just wandering around going, and doing Tom Baker impressions.
looking for a pair of scissors and a contract. Yeah. What I love is because they're just walking through the woods and the yokels pounce on them, and then the Doctor gets all handy, is Adric immediately goes into action by falling over an acorn.
It's
just amazing.
In the documentary, they all take the piss out of that by all falling over like
it's him. Very fun, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's totally like, we fucking hate this bloke.
Adric's fallen over a pubic hair or maybe a moth's wing, or did he catch his toenail in an atom? I'm not sure how he did it, but gosh, he's on the floor, isn't he, poor thing? How did he manage that?
One thing I love as well, they really are quite critical of the visitation in that documentary. One of the things I love is they say, originally it was called Plague Rats. And if you actually look at the script that Eric Saber has clearly bashed out in a hurry, the script is called Plague Rates.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing. And I'm great so work. Glad they didn't call it Plague Rats, because that just gives away so much. That's yes. like, it really does. Ridiculous. Yes. Yeah. And I really like, as a title, The Visitation. That's really good Doctor Who title.
And I think Saywood says in the documentary that the plague was called The Visitation.
Yes.
Oh, was it really?
So it's kind of a double meaning for the episode.
Very nice.
Mm. But at this point, we now bump into my favourite character that we're going to meet in this entire adventure, which is, of course, lovely Richard Mace, who is just the most perfect blend of country thespian and gentleway highwayman. Just a man who, living on his wits, who will basically sell anyone. He's basically Savalon Glitz.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he really is.
He's brilliant.
He is a gentleman of the road.
And a gentleman of the road. Sir.
A gentleman of the road, but I'll slit your throat and drink your blood. I mean, I love him. I think he's such a good character. And he has a proper journey, which I really like. He goes from, I do not believe any of this, to completely incredulous to, do you know what, I've seen enough and I'm off.
There's a lovely, in the documentary, which is amazing, watch it. They talk about his performance and how fun it is, but there's also a lovely photo of them going by coach. They had to get picked up at 8 o'clock. And Nyssa in costume, so they're fitted in costumes. So Nyssa sat next to Arthur from one of the buses, right, and on this smelly old 80s looking coach, and he's got a fag on. But he hasn't got his wig on, so he's bald in his costume, and it just looks so, you know, like sums up BBC 80s stuff, because he's just sitting there with really a fag on a smelly old coach.
Yeah, and poor old Adric strapped to the roof rack.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, Sarah Sutton, I think, at all levels, was just being absolutely screwed over on the story. From her own plot, to the fact she had to sit next to a chain-smoking Richard Mace all the way there. It's like, she has nothing to do all the way through, and you just feel really sorry. Because clearly, Eric Saywood is like, oh, I've written this character, and I like him, and I hate all of the assistants.
I don't know what to do with any of the assistants at this point, because I'm so involved in all the funny characters.
Didn't they say in that Saywood wrote the character Richard Mace for another thing he did?
Yes.
And he liked it so much, he put it in this.
Yeah.
He's got some beautiful lines all the way through it. Because Richard Mace sort of saves them and takes them to what looks like his panic room that's just like a tiny barn. And he just says this lovely line, "I only wish to rob you of your time and company." That's a great little line, because they think he might be a bandit trying to rob them, but he said, no, I assure you, I only wish to rob you of your time and company. It's been so long since I've chatted to civilized people. It's so brilliant.
I've been sat in that tree wanking for 3 weeks.
You should see what I've done to that hollyhock bush.
There was once a squirrel up there.
You think that you couldn't make love to a hedgehog, but with time and pliers, you can remove most of the spines. He's so good. And then we get a bit of, oh, this is why the Doctor's going to hang around, because Nyssa, she finds some power packs, and she's like, alien tech, Doctor.
Yeah.
Alien tech. Which is brilliant.
And that's very exciting.
Yes, so they decide that they're going to investigate the nearest manor. I don't know why they decide they're going
to do that. Again, this is very like Scooby Doo.
They're
going to
go to Gastly Grange.
Yeah.
Yes. This episode, weirdly, should actually be called officially. Right, everyone go to the manor. Stop going to the manor, go back to the shed. No, don't go to the shed, go to the barn. Now leave the barn and go to the alien ship, but take the alien ship into the barn. Now take the barn back to the manor. Now take the manor back to the shed. Now everyone get in the alien ship and take it back to the manor again. Everyone leave the manor, everyone come back to the manor now. Everyone now leave the manor and go back to the shed, put the shed in the barn, put the ship in the manor. Everyone now go to the woods. Right, now everyone go back to the manor. Because there's so much fucking to-ing and fro-ing in this. There's five locations that they go to 8 times every episode.
And no one's told Matthew Waterhouse.
Keep up.
Is Matthew Waterhouse meant to be running the time, or is he meant to be walking? Because he does this weird little skip throughout the woods.
Through the tulips. It's brilliant.
It's weird, though. It's like you say, this entire episode is only really for Tegan and the Doctor. Everyone else is totally redundant.
Yeah, they really are.
You'd think they'd find something better for them to do than...
What, yeah, you know. I know.
There's the entire scene of Nyssa putting on headphones. Yes. That is the entire scene.
Well, like, and like okay. you said earlier, there's the entire scene where Adric's like, I'm going to go outside and immediately get beaten up.
What's the point of that? Every single time he makes a decision, he gets injured or captured. Or leads to someone else getting injured or captured. It's just unbelievable. Nyssa spends the entire thing being in the film Home Alone. She's just in the TARDIS building a bomb, but she doesn't even do it in the console room. She just does it, I'll just wreck O'Teagan's bedsheets. Couldn't give a fuck. Because Tegan's desperate to go, I think Nyssa's literally eyeing up that bedroom going, I'm going to have a lot more space now.
Just
muttering under her breath.
Be great.
Fucking Heathrow. And I'm now you've got your Heathrow and you don't like it, you stupid cow.
Yeah.
I love the fact that
months I've had to listen to you fucking snoring night after night.
The fact that Tegan says, I'll be back in Heathrow and it'll be like nothing happened. You're like, your aunt was murdered. When your aunt got murdered on the way to Heathrow.
Yeah, but that's all right, because I'm in for a fucking windfall. You're going to make some money, are you? Is that what's happening? Oh, I see. So the Doctor and Nyssa climb into Ghastly Grange through an open window. Nice and convenient. Mm. And not only do they discover more energy packs, but they also discover energy beam scarring. So the Doctor now knows that there's something very odd going on down
here.
That's
right.
So they go down to a staircase, but it leads to a dead end. Oh, no.
Yes.
But the Doctor discovers, this isn't a dead end. It's a hologram. It's an hologram.
It's a good effect, right?
It is good.
No, it's brilliant.
Like, this is really good. I don't know how they did it.
No. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. And Nyssa lets Adric and Tegan and Mace into Ghastly Grange through the front door. So they now go through the front door. But the Doctor has disappeared. Oh,
where's
my God.
Gone?
He was just at the bottom of the stairs just now. And no, oh, my God, it's RuPaul's Drag Race robot. He's arrived. Oh, no, and what a cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger is they're stuck in a bit of a house. That is the cliffhanger of this bit, isn't
it? They're stuck in a hallway, and the Harlequin RuPaul Drag Race robot appears.
Yeah.
They're all thinking, is he going to shoot us or fuck us? I'm not sure what's going to happen.
We also get Richard Mace reacting to, you know, technology.
Yeah. Well, what devilry is this?
Yeah, but not in a blood thingy way.
No.
The blood axe.
No.
So far, exactly the same as the Time Warrior.
Yeah.
So far. Apart from the fact that our baddies, who we haven't even met yet, have got a holographic door, it's pretty much exactly the same as Link's in the basement, getting up to no good in the middle of someone's ye olde house. But there you go. So we open on episode 2. Oh my God. And it's absolutely fine because the Doctor just walks through what he has now called it, not a hologram, but the camouflage barrier.
Yes.
Mace is super impressed. He's like, oh, some sort of theatrical trick, I
suppose. No doubt, something from the theatre.
Yeah, what I really love about him is he's not, it's witchcraft, it's madness. He's all, I could make use out of that, because he is a theatrical old cove.
Exactly.
So yes, like,
yes, but we then realise that the whole place, and I'd imagine a lot of places in Heathrow 300 years ago quite often stank of soliton gas. Because it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I'm very sorry, I ate a hedgehog.
Sorry.
I'm a man of the road.
So they go down into the cellar, you see, and it smells of soliton gas. But Mace, all Mace wants to do is have a piss up, because he's in all the fine wines and ales, so he immediately wants to get drunk.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in comes again the robot, Ladyboy C-3PO, who zaps Tegan. And I noticed that the laser is exactly the same colour as her outfit, which I think is rather nice.
Yes, you're right.
It matches, a lovely pale mauve.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that there's some fashion-like consistency, because Tegan's hair is, like, she has about 9 different styles in this story.
Yes,
if you start from, like, where she's at the beginning and all the different location shots, at one point I thought she was going to have, like, cornrows or something. It's like...
Well, at one point she's dressed like a 1950s housewife with hair. It's like this, like... like she's had curlers in all night.
Yeah.
So maybe she expresses her mood and emotion via her hair. That's how she does it.
Like a chameleon.
Yes. That's her defence mechanism. If she's backed into a corner, she immediately gets an afro. Oh Christ. She's been startled.
Well, the baddie in this is like a stand-up chameleon.
No. Very nice.
Not really.
Yes. we haven't even met the... Well, we're about to meet the baddie. Thank God. Because you don't know what's going on at the moment. Because Ladyboy C-3PO has zapped Tegan. There's a bit of a fight in the cellar. Doctor just leave Tegan and Adric alone to just deal with it.
Yeah.
You two deal with that. You might get killed.
See you later.
I'm running away.
Mm.
And the robot android Grim Reaper, he changes every time I'm gonna talk about
it. That's
him.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah.
He takes Tegan and Adric into a hidden chamber. And then the doctor has to give some exposition to Mace about, well, not everywhere. Looks, you know, he does a lot of. Yeah, since John has mentioned this, my God, it's so true. He's always heavy breathing.
Always.
He's always doing a sexy call to someone off screen and doing heavy breathing down the line. Mm. And we finally get our monster reveal.
I love this monster.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm not so fond of the suit, but the face is amazing.
It's really it's a very cumbersome way to walk around and get things done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless you're carrying a tea tray for the rest of your life, don't attempt anything else because you can't raise your hands above anything. But no, the face is amazing. It's really good costume. And it took me a while, and I remember it even when I watched it originally, like, oh, is he injured? Is that what's happened here?
Yes,
and then, of course, yes, he was shot, wasn't he? He was shot earlier.
Yeah.
And he's got one eye missing.
Didn't he pick up that injury? Hang on, I've got it written down somewhere.
He picked up the injury in jail, though, didn't he?
In jail? Yes. So is he a pedo? Is that one of the...
Well, he has sort of got a reptilian sort of dirty old Mac on.
Yeah.
Him and about four other pedos have escaped. Yeah. They're trying to get our baby turtles.
Yeah, exactly. Keep them away.
We found him in London. We found him in London Zoo in the reptile house doing something rather unsavoury. So we find out that he's a pteroleptril. No, a pteroleptil. Not
yes.
A pteroleptil. Mm. He's basically like a giant armadillo, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the bit where even Mace is like, bloody hell. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's based on a tropical fish.
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's basically a very evil koi carp.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But the pteroleptil has control of the villagers, because we should have mentioned when the doctor first met Mace, he's got alien technology, his amulet. He said, oh, it's just a trifle, something pretty. Mm. The doctor knows that's alien tech. Because what the aliens have done is they've gained, the alien at this moment, has gained control of all the yokels. So the woodsmen who attack them, they're all under the control of the pteroleptil, which is, again, the Time Warrior has hypnotized scientists
exactly
to do
same.
His bidding in the cellar. It is exactly the same. But there you go. And he realizes that the doctor, again, like Lynx, has realized you're not of this world, so he orders the villagers to go and find the doctor. The doctor has run off and left Adric and to his fate with Tegan, and he finds the crashed alien ship, and he takes Mace with him. Mace now is having his mind stretched to the point where he's really losing it, because they are now into an alien ship, but it's been stripped of all its parts. The the ship looks great, I think.
It looks really good, and I love the practical kind of sight. Semi-buried thing. Yeah,
it looks really, really well done, isn't it?
It's
and you find out it's not maybe a ship, it might be an escape pod or something like that.
I would
Meanwhile,
say... The,
go on, please, because I'm just doing plot.
I'm going to really critique this now. I would say that... the mace is brilliant when he's in, like, when he's being filmed on film, and it's outside, and it's context-wise, he belongs to the setting. The second you put Mace in, like, a BBC studio sci-fi set, he looks, like, the performance looks insane.
Yes.
He's like, ah, it looks like some bizarre thing I would have seen at a Conjuring fair.
Like, this looks like the set of Tomorrow's World. I don't know what that is.
Well, it looks like Top Shop. And you're like, that is, he's doing, you realise how big he is. Doing that. And you sort of, I know it's very hard to tell, but you sort of feel like a bit of, if he'd like modulated how extreme he was as a presence in those scenes, it would have helped.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Go on, please. Anything but plot.
Because, I mean, this is, like you say, the plot is just toing and froing, but... Paul Nissa again is wearing, I think, she's wearing high heels. The spaceship has like a lattice floor, and you think she was risking breaking her ankles at every point during this film.
That ship is called HMS Trip and Fall Hazard.
What you don't know, of course, is that it was actually a space crash.
Of course, he stole one.
He stole a crash.
He stole it.
And they had a bad crash in the forest, and now they need to fix it.
Nice.
Thanks.
Oh dear. So you've got the Doctor now with Mace in the crash ship, and the Doctor's now putting two and two together and trying to make four. Meanwhile, Robot Liberace has put Adric and Tegan in a room. And he's going to mind bother them or something like that. Oh no, he just basically gets them to do general admin and work.
He turns
them into donkeys.
He turns Tegan into a robot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do the same thing that everyone does when they're turned into robots. This
Which is exactly
in, like,
what
in the Time Warrior.
The Time Warrior
did to the scientists in Time.
Yeah. Also, when in the Beast Below, the New Who one, where they take children and they sort of enslave some children, and then the children, always people are just carrying like two boxes very slowly. That is the symbol of being enslaved in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. And after Robot Liberace has done his work, he then he's sent off to take care of the Doctor. But luckily, the Doctor creates a sonic booster to disable the robot. And what they do is they get out the back of the ship by just getting through a window.
Yeah.
it's a very convenient window.
It's a good thing to have in a ship.
It's a nice escape window.
Yeah.
When you've got a patio window in your escape pod, it really just brings out the contours.
If you see police break glass...
If you see Adric, kill thyself. Yeah.
At this point, you can hear Eric Saywood at this point go, I don't know what to do with Nissa. Nissa,
I've no idea.
Just go to the TARDIS, please.
The Doctor is going to give you something to do that's going to take you a long time to achieve it, so off you go and do that. And she just spends a lot of time just... You're just like watching someone silently doing a cookery show, but without.
it's
just saying, I'm going to put this into this, and this is it's like watching the Great Egg Race. It's like she's just contraption, but she does it all. She thinks if I'm going to do it, I might as well be comfy and do it on me bed.
So you're saying that the ideal Doctor Who assistant would have been Wilf Lum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or
Professor Heinz Wolf. Because he would have given the Doctor a bit of, now see here, Doctor. he would have towed him off a lot.
Because this is coming straight after Kinder. And isn't like Nissa just unconscious for the whole of Kinder as well? So
she's got not much to do in that either.
No.
So she becomes a Kinder egg.
Yeah.
And inside is the dead toy, Adric.
God.
Oh, no, there was no air. Oh, well, never mind. Meanwhile, the Terelectril. Have we found out his name yet?
No.
I don't think we get a name.
He hasn't got a name, has he? Oh, there you go. Yeah. He finds a big blue vial, and we don't know what that is yet, but that comes
very important.
Yes. Mm.
The Doctor, after escaping the pod, immediately goes back into the pod.
Right. Yes, yes, that's
but the
a problem.
The pod in the barn, yeah. But the barn in the pod, but the pod in the shed, but the oh my God. Just so he can exit out the front door. He's already escaped. Why are you going? Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Tegan has now sort of been put into jail with Adric. She's been jailed.
Yeah.
And yes. She's literally ripping the walls to get out. She'd rather die and break her precious fingernails than spend any more time with fucking Adric.
She's having a rotten old time in this one. Absolutely horrific.
And she's had such a rotten old time anyway in the previous story. My God. Poor Tegan. She's been through hell and back.
Yeah. She's been bothered by Reg in Kinder. There's two people from the bill, isn't it? It's Reg and then there's the other
Reg.
One.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very strange.
So Nyssa is in the TARDIS doing the Great Egg Race. The Doctor is going out of places and then back in and then back out and basically the fucking hokey cokey of plot.
Yeah.
You go back in the ship, you go back out the ship, in, out, there's no fucking plot. That just goes on and on and on. And then the Doctor suddenly realises that when they were on their way to Ghastly Grange, there was something wrong about Windy Miller, who was passing with his horse and cart.
What was he up to?
So basically, Adric finally escapes from the jail, leaves Tegan.
Of course.
But Tegan's more than happy to let him go because she knows as soon as he gets out the window, he'll be captured and or shot.
Yeah.
Or will trip over a fucking catkin or a gust of wind will render him unconscious.
Yeah.
An acorn will fall on his head or he'll look at a bird and faint. Whatever fucking happens, Adric's just pointless.
Oh, God.
And Tegan is cornered by the robot. And the Doctor is captured, you see, because after leaving the escape pod, he goes to the fucking barn again. And all the villagers who are under control decide that we are going to execute the Doctor. Now, this is the end of episode two. If we remember the last thing we talked about, Iron Grom was about to execute the Doctor at the end of episode two.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
Fucking God. Story!
Isn't Peter Davison's line literally, oh, not again? Like, not he's again. Remembering the Time Warrior.
Yeah. Yes. Not again. There. He doesn't even do that.
No.
He just accepts his fate. Because he's going to be killed. So it's... And you think, well... What happened last time? Oh, yeah, a judicious use of an arrow saved the Doctor this time. Mm. But this time, it's a judicious use of the word, wait.
Yeah, someone randomly just...
We've changed our mind.
Such pop-outs. Yeah.
I know, they really are, aren't they? Wait, we've changed our mind. Yeah. They are wanted alive by our master, the Terrapin of Doom.
Yeah.
Nyssa is now rearranging her bedroom. Now she thinks, well, Tegan's dead, so that's it. I've got the whole place to myself now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. Mm-hmm. Tegan is once again being mind bothered by the not by the Harlequin robot this time, but this time directly by the Terraleptil.
Mm. Yeah.
And Adric gets back to the TARDIS. This is the most pointless bit of to and froing you've ever seen.
It does.
Adric gets into the TARDIS, and Nyssa's like, "Why are you here? Go away!" And he's like, "And she's like, "No, you can't help." And he said, "Well, I'll go then." She said, "Well, don't go because you'll get into trouble." Just go somewhere in the TARDIS, sit down and shut the fuck up. Eat a toffee apple, have a wank, do what you need to do. But he goes, no, I'm going to go and get help. He takes one fucking centimetre out the TARDIS and every single person in the world captures him.
It's perfect.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And then they basically just start beating him up.
He's so good. Which actually isn't in the plot or the script. But
no.
They just thought, fuck it, while we're here.
While we can get away with it.
I would love it, if the rest of this episode is just Adric being beaten up and occasionally people will walk past and he's still being beaten up. And at the end, when they're finishing getting the TARDIS, they're like, Adric, are you coming or not?
It'd be really good if they could have Adric sat on the ground. You know, in films and cartoons where people get hit on the head and they have little birds flying around, they could have tiny little blue TARDISes around his head.
But it was worth
before,
going to the
I have to say,
yeah,
because he does get to deliver the most poorly delivered line I've ever witnessed.
Isn't it incredible? Do you want to do
doctor,
your best?
Yeah, I'll try
please.
And do it.
Please.
Which is, why is the Doctor never around when you want him? Sorry,
what? Wait for the Doctor. We can't take on the android by ourselves.
Why isn't he here? Why is he never around when you want him?
Do you want to take a run up and try that one again, Matthew?
You're like,
all right, no, I'll do it again. Why is the doctor never around when you want him?
When you want him.
When you want him.
My what is fucking that about? God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Has he never heard the word want? Like, that is like, I mean, fair enough if someone has just like read it for the first time, but you just feel like that must have come up in rehearsal, right?
When you want him.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. And they kept that in. Yeah, we're having that.
I wonder if he was pushed rather than jumped. Oh, surely nobody liked Adric, surely.
I think universally.
I mean, when he left.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Well, you just said there's plenty of interviews with cast, and he's always notoriously absent.
Yeah. Mm,
he did self-publish a book, Matthew, and I've not read it, but my friend Jeremy has. Whose dad is Roger Lim, so he's very involved in Who. Yeah. Matthew does spend the entire book telling you how he was hard done by, everyone was a bastard. Really bitter, angry rant.
Mm.
Self-published.
I mean, there is some other...
Self-published.
A very subtle bit in this when he says a line about the doctor, and he thuds his leg with his fist, and it's a tiny little thing, but it's like, I don't know,
tantrum.
A lot of his... Exactly. Mm. A lot of his choices are neither one thing nor the other. It's the work of an actor who sort of hasn't made any decisions and is just sort of turning up on set and going, what am I doing
now? Someone who clearly hasn't brushed up on the script or rehearsed the night before either.
Exactly.
I'll wing it because that's what I do. What do you want?
That is the Adric, hey, is the
what? I was about to say, if there's some industrial fellow, if there's a sort of modern day Paul Hardcastle listening, could you maybe get up a nice tune, which is just a mixture of, hey, 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 want, hey, want? Because I'd listen to that forever.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
So the Doctor isn't killed because he's wanted by the Terra Electro to help him. So the robot village people appear at the yokel's farm, and the yokels all flee, even though they're under control. Which is weird, because you could just tell the people you're controlling don't be afraid of the other alien technology that's hanging around.
Yes,
but for some reason, they all go, oh, run away, it's the YMCA robot. So they all flee. And once again, we do another, right, now you're in the barn, you've been to the crash ship, you've been to the barn, you need to, right, take him back to Ghastly Grange. But on the way, it's just one of those, just go everywhere at the same time. Jesus
Christ. I want that robot to be voiced by Dick Emery, so he'd say things like, hello, honky tonk.
I like you, but you're awful. Yeah, exactly. That would be amazing.
And Adric could say, I did it wrong again, didn't I, Dad?
I got the script wrong again, didn't I, Dad? I completely and utterly failed to see what a feeling I was generating on set constantly, Dad.
I don't know what else the director wants.
Nobody ever listens to my wants and needs. Wants and needs. Oh, right. Oh, okay. I mean, brilliant.
Luckily, the payment we're giving him isn't very high.
But now we finally get a little bit of plot, which is you get our lead, Terra Leptil.
Mm. Yes.
She has a chat with some of his mates. There's more of them.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're in London town having a ball, seeing a show.
Yeah.
They're just enjoying themselves up in the West End, which is fantastic.
Yeah. We should say
the East End, but there you go.
We should say our lead, Pterodactyl.
Yeah,
is played by Eddie Royal from EastEnders.
Oh, is it?
He was the second landlord after. He was the landlord after Dirty Den.
God.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a great voice as well. There's a load of so many gravelly voices in this. You've got the Pterodactyl, drop the sonic device, and then you've got obviously Richard Mays doing it.
Well, he said that he took the part because he loved Doctor Who, and they said to him, "You're not going to be able. No one's going to be able to see you."
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, okay, but at least I'll be in Doctor Who. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we're going to put like loads of modulation over your voice, so it'll be all weird and alien. And he's like, well, no, don't do that, because then there's nothing of me in this.
I can mm-hmm. literally chew the fat out of the scenes with my voice. So
and he's great.
Worry.
He's a great baddie.
No, he's really good. Mm. I really like him as a baddie. Mm. I think he's a really... And also, unlike... this is the only thing that's different from Time Warrior. This guy does not want to escape Earth.
No.
In fact, he's going to very much stay where he is. Mm. And what he's going to do is he's going to poison the entire planet in just a little bit of gentle genocide. Mm. So him and his fellow alien pteroleptiles can live on Earth as they see fit.
There's like three of them, aren't they? What, they're just gonna conk around an empty world for like the rest of eternity?
Look how long he's taken just to take over Ghastly Grange.
Well, guys,
he's got to do, I mean, let's go alphabetically. He's got to get through Aldershot. He's got to beat Birmingham. He's got to do Birmingham. It's huge.
I mean, have you heard that pterotraptials in London? I've heard there's no go zones there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Places where they just don't feel safe.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
No.
I mean, so it won't be long till we're all doing that. They want it all. And then the left will be happy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So basically, the Doctor is taken back to the Pterolepto, back in Ghastly Grange, who then turns out that he is in fact a prisoner of Raga. He's a fugitive from. Yeah. I don't know if Raga is a prison planet or a prison ship or something.
It's a cooker.
And also, he says that there were four escape, and then they just randomly go, and one died.
Yeah.
And like, and one died. Okay. What happened to that one? Where is he?
We fucked him to death. On
very
day one.
Up in space.
And we let Mace have a go.
Well, Mace sort of slightly gets on the pterolepto's nerves, so the pterolepto goes, hi-ya! And does a karate chop.
Yeah.
He karate chops Mace. He's like, oh, you swine. Not on the wanking arm. That sort of thing, which is great. Adric is still being dragged around the forest by a variety of ne'er-do-wells, immediately.
And
brilliant.
We don't mean made to look fabulous, by the way.
No. I'd like to think he was put on a roasting spit. And the next time we see him, he's got an apple in his mouth. Being slowly turned over a fire, going, what do you want?
By that little Ewok in Return of the Jedi, he's like,
So yeah, the pterolepto says that their plan is to settle on Earth after some gentle genocide, and the Doctor is immediately monocled. He's now trapped down in the cellar, which is terrible. And Tegan is now all like robotic. I'm going to set up an experiment for the Great Egg Race, and Mace is even controlled as well. This and is the pterolepto is like, I'm going to leave you here, Doctor. Ha 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 ha. And I'm going to use not alien tech to get all the way from Heathrow to London, which is going to take half a day. I'm going to get on a horse and cart with half a cape over me so everyone can fucking see me. It's the least convincing disguise ever.
Yes, and he must go all the way there on cart. That must just be exhausting as well.
Yeah. Must take him ages on his poor little lizard bottom. And also, all those towns and villages he's passing through, just hundreds of people screaming and staring.
Hey,
what
wife!
What the fuck is that?
While I was working field, wife, I saw a tropical fish go by on a horse and cart. It is the devil's work.
Dear wife, I was just having sex with the turnips and I saw an iguana go past on a speedboat.
What? I don't understand anything you're saying, Wilf.
I don't know what he wants, but he was going towards London.
Not going anywhere near Penzance.
So the pterolepto escapes on horse and cart with old Windy Miller, and he's taking with him all like milk churns and butter churns and infected rats.
He's on his way to High Barnet
via High Wycombe. And what he's going to do is he's going to infect the rats, and you're thinking, hello, this sounds like something that actually happened in our history. Oh no. Are the pterolepto's responsible for the plague? I hope not. I didn't do that in GCSE history. But there you go. So they're going to infect the rats, kill them all, and steal the world. In fact, they're also going to steal the TARDIS because they think that might be very helpful with their future plans.
Yes.
Yeah. And it ends with... Because the pterolepto's gone, he's left Tegan there to demonstrate his plan by releasing the rats. In front of the Doctor. Now, Tegan obviously is releasing the rats, which means she is now immediately infected, right? I mean, she's right next to the fucking rat.
Yeah, you'd assume
so. So she's infected, and the rat is about 4 foot from the Doctor.
Yeah.
So the doctor is also infected, can we now assume? Because that's how infection fucking works. Yeah. You don't have to pick up a rat and use it as a fucking comb. I mean, surely it's doing its job straight away.
But the doctor's probably got some medicine in the TARDIS that'll fix it.
Yeah, and the doctor does a beautiful piece of... Tegan, don't do it. Resist. How was it for you, darling? Fantastic. End of episode 3.
Yeah.
So episode 4 starts, and the doctor, I don't know how he, the doctor somehow overrides Mace's bracelet.
Yes, he gets that off him.
Gets that off him and snaps him out of it, and then they snap Tegan out of it, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They do.
They do. The robot has now been sent to find the TARDIS because they can't shove that on the back of the Orson cart, the Terelectro. So the robot's job now is to follow behind. So if let's just track the journey of this Terelectro. he's passing through villages on a horse and cart, infecting people as he go, making people fucking scream. Mm. 1 mile behind him is the ghost of YMCA Liberace carrying a giant blue police box. Just amazing.
So strange.
I suppose they're not worried because they're about to destroy the human race anyway, so they're like, I don't give a fuck what you see. You're going to be dead anyway.
I'll just
give you some fun stories to tell to your kids before you all drop down dead.
Meanwhile, Nyssa is trying to make some sort of device that will kill the robot.
She's been told
to go to the TARDIS to activate a sonic boost. That's what she was told at the end of episode, beginning of episode 2. Mm. So that's what she's been doing.
So we're into, is it 4 at this point?
Yeah, we're into 4 now
because Nyssa is ready to, she's ready to activate the sonic boost. So she puts on the largest pair of earmuffs. They're just these huge, beautiful earmuffs she puts on.
I should say at this point that she's stunning, isn't she?
Yeah, she really is. She's beautiful.
That's the sad thing about Sarah Sutton. She is really good. She's a very subtle performance. She's not like, the character isn't very like big or brash or anything.
Yeah.
She's just like, but they did nothing with her at any point.
No.
Well, because
I feel really bad for her.
She really started off as like posh girl, because she was like a lady, a princess, wasn't she? Yeah. She sort of was always as the posh girl getting into scrapes and always had a bit of a moral code. Mm. And that just slowly sort of slipped away, and she just literally became not even eye candy, just misses nothing to do now. She was often, like you say, either left unconscious, left sat doing the knitting, or in this case, in the TARDIS, designing earmuffs and rearranging furniture.
I presume she leaves soon, right?
Midway through the next season.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, she's still got loads of time to do nothing effectively. You know?
I'm trying to think what her like breakout one is, but like maybe Terminus, which is her last ever story. Mm. Apart from that, she sort of ambles around a lot with nothing to do.
Mm.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I'm surprised she didn't, contact her agent to say that she wants more involvement in the story.
And she wants less scenes with Adric.
She wants to be a high earner.
So what you've got now is the Doctor realising he's now got Tegan out of it, Mace out of it. He now needs to stop this from going on. And the only way he's going to do that is to get back to the TARDIS. But the robot's on its way to the TARDIS.
There's the fun stuff with the lock, right?
Yes.
There's the fun stuff with the lock. It's like, a span separates them both.
Absolutely,
that was all
brilliant.
Very fun.
Well, that's also that bit where the Doctor shoots and then Tegan says, you missed. Then he does... Mm. I never miss.
But first, the Doctor has to get out of the Terelipto lab. So what he does is he knocks out the yokel guards with a massive pile of empty boxes.
the largest pile of which
collapse on someone like, and there's nothing in them. They could be picked up by a ant with a heavy fucking
head.
Just put something in them to give them some weight. Mm. Even if they're cushions, just put something to give them gravitas.
A sound effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Basically, they just put some empty egg boxes on him. Meanwhile, this could be Adric's chance, because Adric has escaped once more from the Yokos, and he is running to the TARDIS, and my God, just in time, because right outside is fucking robot Liberace, who I presume is just going to pick up the TARDIS with Nyssa in it. So the first thing Adric does is he runs up to it and kicks him up the arse.
It's unbelievable.
So basically, the robot turns around and knocks Adric unconscious.
Well, you tried.
Yeah, This is a very small thing, but one thing that bothers me about this season is that the, and this is a very small thing and it's very plicky, but they open the wrong door of the TARDIS. They open the door on
yes,
the left.
Yes.
And traditionally, isn't it always the door on the right
that
gets
you're
open?
Right. Yeah.
And it's just a small thing, but I'm just like, oh, that really bothers me for some reason.
I believe that's the only time where Dennis Norden turned the air blue during because he was actually a purist and he actually started his monologue off. He's got the clipboard and he goes, if you're one of those people who really appreciates who, then take a look at this cock-up when the stupid bitch can't arse over the fucking side of the fucking land. Well, we lost. It's all right on the night now. It's the only time he really lost it. He's a purist. Yeah. He doesn't. But luckily, the robot, after having its ass kicked by Adric and then smacking Adric with a four-leaf clover or just putting a bumblebee on his head, whatever, just knocks Adric out. Nyssa activates the sonic boom, and the robot is now bang, bish, bong, blows up in a really low-key exploding way.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty anticlimactic.
And then all its insides, which are presumably feather boas and sequins and shoes and handbags and whatever, makes him a right O Camp Charlie, falls out, and that's the end of him.
And then she gets out the fire. Like, I feel like we see so much detail of Nyssa's like activities. So
again,
that when it blows up,
Mrs. Health and Safety. Yeah, she comes out and says, I have to deal with that. Those are repercussions for what I do. She's very sensible, isn't she?
At one point, I thought we'd come back to Nyssa, and she'd just be like making a toasty, just like buttering some bread, just like doing a bit of sweeping.
Yeah, she's the sort of person they could be on an alien. They could be on an alien planet with a big feast, and she'd be like, "Actually, I think you'll find that this dish is actually at room temperature, so it's probably poison." Yeah. Just fucking eat, will you, Nyssa? We haven't eaten in 4 days. And excuse me, do you mind if you could just warm that up? Oh, she's like Sally when Harry met Sally. She wants this on the side, and she wants that and that, but she'll never do the orgasm scene, and certainly not with Adric.
Adric says, "Now I'll never know how she what she was having."
I don't want to know what she was having.
He'll be the fucking. He'll be the buffet stuck in your sucking face, won't he?
I don't want to know what she's having. It seems rude. What does she want? Stupid fucker.
Yeah.
So Terra Leptra.
I want it now. Dun, dun. I want it now. Dun,
and
dun.
I want it all.
And I want it all now. Yeah, sorry.
So Terra Leptra is obviously on a very, very fast horse and cart because he's immediately in London.
Yes.
So
yes.
So Heathrow to East End. How long's that? What's that going to be? A good 15 miles?
Yeah, easily.
On a horse and cart, you know, probably. Anyway, he's got there. Now they decide that they're going to get the TARDIS there, so they get the TARDIS to appear.
And then Mace is like, what absolute contraption cabinet is this?
Mace should come out and go, fucking hell, we're in a proper studio with lighting.
is where they hid the budget.
This was filmed at Elstree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Adric, by the way, decides to parallel park the TARDIS inside Ghastly Grange. And the Doctor has just stood there going, it's very fucking easy. He's just stood there waiting for it to appear because they've taken it from the woods to pick up the Doctor.
That's right.
So you get the TARDIS doing that juddery... which is basically the equivalent of grinding gears and the Doctor's just wincing like, oh, fuck, you are wrecking my fucking TARDIS.
And it's of course going...
trying to put it into gear 4.
Baby, baby.
Jesus.
Baby.
Oh, it's here. It's here at last. That's a pickup from a classic wheezing, groaning sound, everyone, if you heard that. So they're all together now. They pop in the TARDIS, and then the TARDIS is thankfully back in the rightful hands of its owner. Mm-hmm. Adric, keep your dirty little mitts off the controls and never do that again. That is the only thing that Adric does in the entire thing that is of worth and of merit. He does manage to get the TARDIS from the woods into the Grange, which is about 60 foot away. So
he might as well have just pushed it.
Yeah, they could have just dragged it over. Yeah. They could have just put it on casters and just rolled it over the fucking ground. But no, he doesn't actually achieve that. But I think in doing so has caused untold damage to the TARDIS.
They say that the Doctor's been spared a long walk, and the Doctor says, I like a long walk.
Yeah.
Which, it's a shame that wasn't Adric's line, because I've just spared you a long wow.
The Doctor going, why don't you take a long walk off a short pier? But yeah, even the Doctor saying that, I would have liked a long walk. That's the Doctor going, you fucking arsehole. Mm. Yeah. I mean, they're literally writing it as well. They're going, everyone hates Adric.
Yeah.
They're not pretending anymore. It's just you bothersome little fucking shit. So the Doctor now finally decides he's going to track down where the Terra Electra is going, and it is, of course, the East End of London. It's a baker's shop.
Mm. Ooh. Mm.
Interesting.
Ye oldie Greggs.
Ye oldie Greggs. Which they're suddenly making a sort of lizard sausage roe, which isn't going down very well with the populace.
But no. Piers Morgan's furious.
Yeah, absolutely furious.
Samuel Pepys Morgan.
Yeah. When a man is tired of London,
I'm when a man is tired of sausage rolls in the garden.
Imagine him doing the opening soliloquy to Shawshank Redemption, but it's about Richard Mace. When I first met Richard Mace, he was a queer bird.
He was masturbating up in that there tree.
Because if Mace was in Shawshank, he'd be perfect. I understand you're a man who proffers things. I mean, he'd be right in there, wouldn't he? He'd be perfect.
Great.
I like to make little rocks, you see. Anyway,
see, thank God that we were spared the scene where Mace, because Mace doesn't have to do the your contraption appears to have larger dimensions upon its
because
interior.
He's seen enough madness now to just think, well, this is just an extra layer on that cake that he's taken a rather large slice of. And in fact, it's at this point he's like, well, I think we might part ways now. I'm basically just wants to go and get pissed. He's in London now, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He's already alluded to the fact that he likes a drink.
Yeah.
And I think he's seen quite enough. And he's not one of those persons that's like, oh, adventures. You see, no, fuck that. I'm just going to. I'd imagine he'd then be on stage recounting his strange tales and trying to make money out of it.
Do you know we're very near the red light district?
Yeah.
I mean, those were the Doctor Who actors who basically would get drunk from like midday in Soho on over the weekend. That was their job, so he'd just be doing the same thing.
He'd be the person who would come into a tavern with no money and go, let me regale you of a tale of a gentleman in a blue box.
Yeah.
and people would he'd prop up the bar all day doing that in the Coach and Horses. He'd be doing that with actually Tom Baker, who was always in the Coach and Horses.
Did I ever tell you the story of the time a terrapin tried to blow up the world?
Yeah, exactly. Ever tell you the time when I was attacked by a bisexual robot? No, you haven't. Well, fill my tankard and I will regale you with a tale. And he's also probably still, and he's also still got that alien tech, which he's taken down the nearest pawnbrokers immediately. How much for this trinket?
This is Richard Mace's good night sweetheart, isn't it? Because someone's writing these down and they'll become Doctor Who pamphlets. Like the Canterbury Tales, but all about Doctor Who stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, Richard Mace is a travelling Big Finish.
Yes. Yes, he really is.
Yeah, which is ironic. Cause he's
So the Doctor, Tegan, Adric and Mr. Mace, they all run through the baker shop and they open the door, but it's a trap. There's two Terra Electras
stood
behind the door in that you can't see us. And so they have
that is...
They have a fighty fight, don't they? Have a little fighty fight.
Wow.
It's disappointing that all of this basically boils down to punching pteroleptiles until they stop, until they're dead.
Yeah.
Apparently,
all it takes is a couple of hi-yas or punches, and then they're on the floor, aren't they?
Because they're not strong, are they? No, they really aren't.
And what happens is of course, a torch is dropped mid-melee.
Who drops the torch, Paul?
Who drops the torch? Mm. The Doctor does.
The Doctor does.
The Doctor. Yeah. Let's just bed that in straight away. Doctor now burns down the baker's shop.
Yeah.
And everyone and the pteroleptiles, as Tom rightly said, are now just popping and fizzing. And it's a really horrible, gratuitous shot of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so
screaming as they're being boiled alive in their shells.
It's so Eric Saywood, isn't it? It's just so grotesque and unnecessary.
And we get eyes popping. And but I think that's a major reason why I remembered watching it in 1982. Loving it. Because I was 9 years old, so this is right up my alley. I was, look at that, wow.
Yeah.
I was too young to enjoy Time Warrior, I'd imagine, so because I wasn't even born.
No.
So, yeah, so they all pop and die. And Mace is like, oh, the place is on fire, cheerio. And even the Tegan are going, well, aren't you going to do anything about that? And the doctor goes, no, I don't think so. I think everything's fine. And you're like, oh, okay, fair enough. And then they fuck off, and you think, oh, God, that's a bit cold and callous of you, Doctor. Mm. But the final little shot, and I love all this when it ties into history.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Because the Doctor says something like, I don't think we have to worry about that fire in particular, because it's Pudding Lane, everyone.
They were aboard the Mary Celeste the whole time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The Doctor is the man responsible for the Great Fire of London. So, yes, he did rid the plague, which was actually not created by rats in other parts of Europe and Africa. It was actually brought to planet Earth by aliens.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, and the Doctor has stopped that, but in doing so, has killed thousands of innocent people.
Mm.
That is the tricky thing,
who
isn't
it? Who burnt and burnt and burnt and burnt to death in their homes.
In their Robert homes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks.
Very nice.
So I didn't realise when I decided to talk about The Visitation that it was the exact same episode as Time Warrior.
Yeah.
Which also ends with a big fire, with the explosion.
Also ends with a big fire, big explosion. People, it's almost exactly the same.
But the what Time Warrior got right is that he only had one assistant who was quite useful.
Yes. Yeah. But well, I mean, the Doctor did. It was Richard Mace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true.
Yes, my God.
He's the best assistant, isn't he?
Yeah. Imagine, the Doctor just goes, I tell you what, Tegan, this is close enough. You just fucking stay here.
Yeah.
Nyssa, you go. Take Adric. I'm taking Mr. Mace with me.
He's I mean, that's a big finish series, isn't it? The Adventures of Richard Mace.
Yes. I think we're turning up
on alien planets to taste their local ale.
I think this podcast has been an audition for all of us. Like, big finish, just say which one you want to
play. For the love of God, I'm ready. I am ready. Because I've listened to some fucking big finishes, and quite frankly, come on. There's one in a service station in 1970s with Stephen Gately. Christ on a bike. Nothing against Stephen, but Jesus Christ, that was an episode. Him in Cribbins as well. Bloody
hell. Wow.
Anyway, there you go. So that was The Visitation. The Doctor leaves and creates the Great Fire of London, but solves the bubonic plague. So that's pretty nice. I like it when it ties into history.
Very neat. Mm.
Yeah. I absolutely adored The Visitation.
Yes.
But I watched it after I did my homework, which was Tom's Time Warrior. And then I just started getting bored with my own choice.
Oh, no.
Well, no, simply because I was like, oh, I've seen this. This is the same episode. It should have been a three-parter, I think, and it should not have been,
definitely.
You go here, you go here, you come back, because it is literally Shed, Ship, Grange. And just, they're there like 19 times in every scene. It's too much backing and toing and froing. But I love the alien.
Oh, yeah.
He looks amazing.
He's brilliant.
Aliens look amazing.
The pterodactyl turned up again, but I think it's redressed and it turns up
I think it does, yeah.
Yeah, in not Terror of the Vervoids, maybe Mind Warp or something. I think it turns up again.
Yeah, I think it does come back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
There is genuinely so much to really like about this. I mean, the robot is baffling, but that's part of the reason why I love it. It's just so incongruously odd. It's such a mismatch of ideas.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that about it. It's just madness.
Yeah.
The Pterolepto's plan is very sort of sea devil Solarian-like. In other words, no, we're staying here.
Absolutely.
We'll get rid of everyone else, actually.
Another aquatic animal. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anything reptilian-based. I've got weird boundary issues and land right issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. So I really enjoyed it, but it was just so weird watching it after watching the Time Warrior, because it's like, oh God, they've literally just rubbed out the characters' names and just replaced them with these. It's almost the same thing. It does suffer from too many assistants. Mm. Weirdly, the person you see the least in this is the Doctor.
Yes,
that's true.
He's actually weirdly absent from this story because they've got so much gaff to fill with different assistants running to and fro, so you really weirdly miss the Doctor in this. Which is a shame, but he becomes very Doctor-like at the end. He's like, oh, don't worry, what we've caused may well be calamity, but I've saved the world again.
Doctor,
so yeah, there you go.
Do you want to put out that fire? He's like, no, it'll run its course.
Put it out with Walter.
Who wants to live forever?
I tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Elocution lessons, dear. Yeah. That's what you really want. Yeah. Anyway, so what are we going to give out of 100? 100
terrapins?
100 terrapins, 100 or maybe 100 wands.
Yes. Yeah, 100 wands.
100 wands. I was when, cuz I picked the visitation purely out of thin air, just as something that I wanted to revisit, cuz I've only probably watched it twice, once when it was originally broadcast and probably about 15 years ago. Yeah. So I was desperate to revisit it. There were certain key scenes I always really remember, and loads I didn't. I forgot how much Adric Nissantigan have nada to do. But I love the alien. I was going to give it the score that I gave for our previous episode, which was 70, and that's what I would have given it.
Yeah.
But I can't give it 70 now because it's the same fucking episode. So but I'm still going to give it a high score because I really just love the look of it, the feel of it. It's good fun. So I'm giving it a 68.
Ooh. 68
out of 100.
Lovely stuff.
Go. Yeah. Tom.
Oh, me. Okay, so mine's a bit cheeky.
All right.
I enjoyed this one. I didn't enjoy it as much as the Time Warrior, but I'm going to bump it up because of the Blu-ray thing, and we have referred to the documentary quite a lot. The documentary is really fun.
Really?
And actually, it's like, if you watch them as a companion piece, if you watch The Visitation, then watch The Visitation documentary, that is a very good night in.
That is what I did, and yes, it was.
Yeah, it's super fun because you get a bit of Eric Saywood doing his... just like him looking like he's just permanently annoyed about being asked any questions about writing.
And it's hosted by Furlough as well.
Exactly. Who sort of has a... He's great. He's so good.
He is. Good sport.
So I think I will equal your 68. And so, yeah, go for that as well, because I think it is actually watching those two together make it a really fun experience.
Because, and to be honest, I'm sure there are lots of other Doctor Who episodes that take this familiar trope. The alien lands on the planet. They either want to destroy it or harvest it. So that's normally...
Yeah.
It's just so strange that these do literally follow the same line of dialogue, action and thought, pretty much verbatim. But it's 9 years have passed and they want to know.
No.
Yeah.
Or maybe they didn't win. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
What about you, John? What are you going to...
And at least we get a new alien, which is always fun.
Yes. That's
when you get a brand new alien, like,
I had loads of fun with this. Again, it's probably an episode too long. However, I was really, really in the mood for it when I was watching it. So I just just really, really enjoyed myself. And as Tom says, the documentary is so good if you watch it straight after. Because there's loads of stuff in there that really appeals to a kind of nerdy mind. They go to the exact spot where the spaceship was buried. Tell you that lovely fact about that's the reason he was annoyed about Adric, because they were filming in a forest near Heathrow, near the BBC, and there were planes going over every 5 minutes.
Yes,
so they had like 5 minute windows to film stuff. So that's why they couldn't redo the fight sequence, because they had to move on.
Yeah,
so that's why I was pissed off. Anyway,
is that why they kept Adric's wand?
Probably.
Is that why? Because maybe an entire fucking Red Arrow display?
Anyway, I'm going to give this 70.
Oh,
nice. It's done very well.
I really enjoyed myself.
I'm really glad it's got a good score. That's nice.
That is 206. 206
wands, Doctor.
And now it's time for correspondence.
Hey.
What do they want?
Well, Ben Thomas summons to the bee wants to tell us. Visitation, the story where Nessa spends two episodes building a giant vibrator in her bedroom.
Oh dear.
Couldn't she have used Tegan's or Adric's?
Listeners like, okay.
Visitation is that... Oh, this is Tim Gray, Gray Tim. Visitation, is that the one where the robot wears a pair of cricket gloves covered in plastic jewels? Yes.
Yes, it is. Exactly, yes, it that is. One.
Also, this is from Andrew F, the Andrew F. The Pudding Lane filming for The Visitation is some of the best the show ever had. Imagine if it could have all been done on film and looked that good. I completely agree. The Pudding Lane set is amazing.
Yeah,
and you really like, something's changed.
This looks better.
Yeah.
I suppose as well, because everything is just bright sunlight and just they've just turned all the lights on for the lighting. And this is an example of like where actually it's quite subtly lit and looks quite good.
So there we go.
Yeah, thanks, folks. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the visitation. I'm so glad we visited it.
Yeah.
So until next time, follow us on Wheezing Groaning Pod on Twitter. At Wheezing, beg your pardon. Do continue asking questions and making comments. We really appreciate that.
Please.
Mm-hmm. And we will see you sometime soon, won't we?
Sometime yes. soon.
Ooh, yes. And some space soon.
Mm. We will. Until next time, we'll speak to you next time when you might want another episode.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Why isn't he here? Why is he never around when you want him? Why is he never around when you want him? Why is he never around when you want him? Why is he never around when you want him? Why is he never around when you want him?
Hi!
Why is he never around when you want him?
Hi!
Why is he never around when you want him?
Hi!
Why is he never around when you want him?
Hi! Hi!
Why is he never around when you want him?
Hi! Hi!
Why is he never around when you want him? Why is he never around when you want him?
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Concessions.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.